Ah, there you go. There you go. The sound is back on again. I learned sign language this morning. Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on there, children. Are we back now? Is the sound back on? What I did was I disconnected the mic and reconnected it. There you are. All right. Who understood the sign language? Hands up. Who understood the sign language? Do you understand what I was actually saying to you? Holy God. Thanks to Sharon Gale who sent me a text message. If I hadn't seen Sharon Gale's text message, I would have carried on. Because I'm not observing the little meter there. There's a little sound meter. I've invited a gentleman to come on the programme tonight called Rod. Andy, in fact, is his name. I've had a chat with him on Twitter. And I hope he's not watching this. This isn't my show, Andy. This is a crappy live stream that I do from home, from a laptop. This isn't the radio show. This is absolutely, this is crap. This is the crappiest of the crap. There you go. Tuha Deidana says, thank God I can lip read. Hi to Natalie Stacey. Natalie, I might have said hi to you already. Wow. Yes, hi to John Sheridan, Chris Brown, Philip Blair, Misty Ernst. Okay. Lovely. Russian bot. Mark Richards, Mercy in Golden Age. Yeah, you had my beautiful face for a while, but no sound. The sound is back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. Hi to Cass Holdsworth. How you doing, Cass? And we're back. We're back. We are back. You don't have to keep telling me there's no sound. We have sound. Hi to Graham Booth of TriggerWarning.tv. Check Graham Booth out if you haven't before. David Bramble. An Irishman who lost his voice. Yes. Yes. Ollie Burton. Do you like the sign language? You did. Sign language went down well, didn't it? Lovely jubbly. Right. 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 Chris Poacher. Purse saving deals. Mary Burke. Mary Burke does know sign language. That was more John McCrerick there, wasn't it? That was a bit of John McCrerick there, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Okay. Do you see all the Illuminati stuff I was doing there, yeah? All the Illuminati stuff. All right. Christ, hi to Mr. Dry Reach. Right, enough of that. It's noisy downstairs. My friend Mike is back down there drilling and banging and hammering away. So you'll hear a bit of noise there. Old Mike is down there. Old Mike. Mike the carpenter, huh? Somebody said yesterday, Richie, did you ever have hair? Or something along those lines. Is there a picture of you with hair, Richie? There is. There it is. There's me in Spain. Jesus, that guy is beautiful. Look at him with his pink shirt. With his big gay pink shirt on him. Gay boy there in Spain. Future Mrs. Allen took that of me when I was looking out the window in Spain. There's me with hair as I was beginning to recede. As I was beginning to fade. Here we are, there's me with hair. All right. Okay. Proves I had hair at one time. Shall we look at the front pages of the newspapers and try and recover this crap? Pull it back from the brink, this show. Shall we? Shall we? All right, let's do it. The Telegraph. Brussels expects no deal. This is all over the shop today. Okay, the European Union is apparently bracing itself for the UK to leave without a deal on October 31st. Park that for a minute, a little bit more on that in a second, because, it, like I said, it's everywhere today. Also pictured, it's a dejected England cricketer. Is it Burns, is it? Is it Denley? I'm not sure. My glasses. These are not good for reading, these glasses. Distance, but not good for reading the computer. Australia, well, convincingly won the first test. At Edgbaston in Birmingham yesterday, pretty easy victory for the Aussies, and England have it all to do. That's the Telegraph, and these feet. The Guardian, PM intent on hard Brexit and has no desire to renegotiate, according to the European Union. Okay, like I said, this is everywhere. The claim is that Johnson is determined to leave on October 31st and doesn't really want to negotiate. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Brinkmanship, dear viewer, brinkmanship. The Times, Johnson to defy any vote of no confidence. And also a very interesting story on the front page of the Times. Facebook friends far better than neighbours. Who would want you to believe that? That you're better off online, engaging in relationships and forming and forging relationships online. Who would want you to believe that's true? Who would want you to think that your online friends that you've never met, that you've never had a cup of coffee with, that you've never engaged face to face, who would want you to think that? Right. Yeah, you've got it in one. So you have. So you have there. Eh? We'll come back to Johnson in a minute. Boris Johnson. The Express. Dame Babs' plea to end dementia agony. This is Barbara Windsor. National treasure. Great actress. Great lady. East End. Carry On Films. EastEnders, of course. Much more besides. This is about underfunding. This is about underfunding. It's about underfunding care. And why I won't waste any of your time or any of my time by saying for the 500th time, everything is underfunded. Everything is destroyed from the ground up to pave the way for the private sector to take it over. This is the epitome of problem, reaction, solution. Dame Barbara Windsor is right. Lovely woman. Great woman. It's dreadful what's happening to people. It's dreadful what's happening to families who are struggling to care for their very senior relatives, but their senior relatives who are dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's, who need somebody to come along, right, and spend a few hours a day with the elderly relative who's struggling, but there's no money for it. Okay, there's money for war, there's money for developing weapons of mass destruction, but no money for helping people who've paid their way their entire lives. Okay, right. So it's problem, reaction, solution, writ large, right? Okay, I said I wouldn't get into that, but anyway, there you are. Lovely. The Mirror. Babs begs Boris for fairer dementia care. Same story. Heartbreaking plea. Okay. That's the Mirror. What's in the eye paper? Old money. Johnson in NHS funding row. Johnson wrote in the Sunday Times on Sunday, as he would do on Sunday in the Sunday Times. Johnson said there'll be 1.8 billion quid for the NHS. Turns out this money has already been given under Theresa May. Most of it. To hospitals anyway, selling porky pies. Oh, that's unusual, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? A politician? To lie? Of course he's lying. It's not his remit. It's not within his remit to fund the NHS. The NHS, again, is being destroyed from the ground up. It is. To cause the outcry that leads ultimately to... Right. I was going to use that in a minute. I told you it was car crash this, didn't I? That I was supposed to hide that for another story in a minute. Car crash TV this. You're fat, don't sugarcoat it, because you'll eat that too. That's Dr. Phil. There's a story about obesity in the papers. I was going to use that meme later on. I couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Honest to God. So there you are. Honest to Jesus. Distracted myself now with my mistake. Ah, Richie. Be Jesus. Right, let's get back to papers. Did we do the eye paper? We did. Let's do the Sun. Don't let my little girl die. We'll look at that briefly in a few minutes. Talked about this on the newspaper review chat programme last week. Very serious story, this, about this young girl who had a brain bleed and is in hospital and is in a coma. Her parents want her to go to Italy, but the doctor is refusing to allow that, and it's going to the High Court. We'll just look inside the paper at that story in a few minutes' time. The Metro, fight back of the Tate plunge boy. Terrible story this. Came out yesterday. It emerged yesterday that the Tate Gallery, there was an incident where a young boy was thrown over a balcony on the 10th floor and fell onto a roof. He fell about five stories onto a roof. Thankfully, the boy is going to be okay, it looks like. He's out of he's out of the critical condition. He's still in intensive care. But it turns out that the 17-year-old boy who threw him out of the window or over the balcony is a boy with very severe mental health issues. And he was out, the 17-year-old boy, he was out, but he was out with minders. And he escaped these minders and he threw the young lad out of the balcony. Wasn't it disgusting yesterday? And I'm not talking about some of my listeners now, because I had this out, I think, with Tuha De Danann yesterday. Didn't I, Tuha? Got a memory. Got a good memory. Wasn't it disgusting that on Twitter yesterday, some of the alt-right characters, the Truther Industrial Complex, were saying that I bet you it's a migrant that did it. Apparently not. Apparently it's a 17-year-old kid with psychological problems. Not a migrant. Okay. Thought I'd say that. Financial Times. China allows currency weaken in escalation of trade war with the US. The Financial Times is obsessed with this alleged trade war between the US and China. That's the Financial Times. Let's move on to the Mail. Nick, the damning document, the Mail is obsessed with the story of Nick Carl Beach and how the police used testimony given to them by Nick, or statements given to them by Nick, to raid VIPs' homes. And now they're saying that the police knew that Nick's story was very shaky. The senior detectives knew his story was shaky, but they used the evidence to get warrants anyhow, and then went on to harass some very famous people. You know what I think about that. And I've gotten into that extensively in the Richie Allen radio show in recent days, so I'm not going to dwell on that. And the Daily Star today, loaded Lineker, I must be due pay rise. Nobody's got a sense of humour anymore. Gary Lineker is an arsehole. He is an arsehole. Yes. But even arseholes are allowed to make a joke. Match of the Day tweeted out that Gary begins his 20th year as presenter of, or as participant stroke presenter of Match of the Day, which is a highlights programme on BBC One on Saturday and Sunday evenings. And Lineker quipped, well, I must be due a pay rise then. He was only joking. But a lot of people don't find it funny because BBC personalities like Lineker are paid exorbitant amount of monies to do sod all. People shouldn't be triggered so easily. Yes, Lineker's an arsehole, but he was only joking. He's paid ridiculous amounts of money, Lineker, to sit on a sofa and to ask ex-footballers like himself what happened there, lads. Welcome to Match of the Day. Let's start off at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United versus Coventry City. Your commentator is Guy Mowbray. That's his job. And then when the game is over, thanks very much, Guy. Well, Alan Shearer, that was some game, eh? That's the job. £1.8 million a year. Nice money if you can get it, lads. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Blame the BBC. Right. Josh Ratcliffe says, I hate the Tommy Robinson versus Owen Jones mentality that people have. Both are awful individuals. Well, this is the society, you see, that's being created. This is us versus them, left versus white, left versus right. Say it again, Richie. Us, them, left, right, black, white, far left, far right, liberal, socialist, conservative. These are constructs. They are constructs. They are invisible prisons. And the establishment constructs these invisible prisons and people walk right in the door and say, yes, that's me. Do you... I mean, it is amazing to me. Can you be defined? I say to people all the time, can you be defined by a phrase like liberal, like progressive? Does that define you? You're a very complicated, complex, incredible being of light, of energy, of originality, of intelligence? Do you really define yourself by this particular social group? And are you, why are you so willing then to hand over to the invisible prison, to the social construct, to the group, to give over the power of attorney over you? Because you give it the power of attorney over you, because then forevermore the group decides what it is that you think. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, one of the things that's a very... anybody who's been around politics, this is how crazy it is. Huddle in, because I'm going to give you a very profound bit of information. It won't change your life, but it'll make sense to you. Anybody who's worked in commercial or national media, as I have over the years, will tell you that one of the very interesting things about politicians, about the people who work for politicians and political parties, is this. What's our line on that? What's our line on that? Or more importantly, what's our position on that? This is how it works. This is the essence of identity politics. What's our position on that? Something happens. Something happens. There's a crime. There's a shooting. There's an argument about teaching in school. And the person who has assigned himself or herself to the invisible prison of the identity group says, what's our position on that? What about, what's your fucking position on that? You're a sentient, original, totally unique being of light and energy. You fuckwit. What about your own opinion? No. What's our position on that? What's our position on that? You moron. Wake up. That's something as a journalist you hear all the time from aides, from political assistants, from party officials. What's our position on this? So that I can adopt it and I can promote it on social media or in interviews. What's your own position on it? What do you think? Well, I better wait and see what everybody's saying, you know. I mean, I'm a conservative, you know. I better wait and see what the party is saying and what the officials are saying, even if you disagree with it. Yeah. That's how it works. Right. There's Michael down there beavering away. Go on, son. Right. Jake says, how do you know when a politician is lying? The old lips are moving. The old lips are moving. Lovely. Gail says, it's a fucking nightmare, Richie. It's soul destroying. That's 10 minutes ago, Gail, so I haven't a Scooby-Doo there, kid. But I can't remember what I said last night, let alone what I said 10 minutes ago. Boris is a liar, says many of you. Of course he is. Hi to Kelly Reid. How you doing, Kelly? I might have said hello to you already. Lee Dignam. How you doing, Lee? Hi to Jake. Tenor Fuck Iceni. Lovely jubbly. Let me scroll on down there. Lots of tweets. Not tweets. Messages. Messages, Richie. Messages. Hi to Gaza. Is Lineker a reptilian, says Gaza? He might well be, you know. Let's find out. Paul says, how you doing, Paul? Allow, we have to agree with the Jones-Robinson paradigm. Neither of them give a damn about anything but their own profile. It's bizarre how so many people rest on their every word. It is identity politics. Free Tommy. As you're part of that movement, you derive, I know I've said it already 2 minutes ago, but I'm going to repeat it again. You form your opinion. Your worldview derives from the leader or the leaders. All original thought goes out the window. Right? Owen Jones wrote a book about socialism a few years ago. I read it and laughed my arse nearly off my body. I nearly lost my arse. It was so funny. Because there wasn't an original idea in the book. I will stop short of calling him a plagiarist because I don't believe he plagiarized anybody. But the book was wretched. It was woeful. It was hopeless. Full of progressive ideas and social justice warrior ideas, none of which were his own. Rubbish. Rubbish. full of blame somebody else for the situation you find yourself in. Lovely. Lovely jubbly. Stacey, Natalie says, our friend Natalie Stacey says, love when Hayden is on your show. He's so well behaved. He doesn't have to be well behaved on our show. Top man. Sharon, thanks very much for that. There's no need for that, Sharon Gale, but thank you very much. That's our Sharon in Portsmouth there. Thank you, Sharon. Right. And to Dick Scratcher. Right, let's move on. Victoria's Secret is ushering in a new era. They've hired their first openly transgender model because the company was being seen as regressive and not progressive. So it's hired its first openly transgender model. And Valentina is the model there. And Valentina was born a boy. And despite herself, she embodies an age-old arduous struggle to be recognised and not to be perceived as something other, as a gender exile. In a post-gendered world that more and more designers are highlighting on their runways, trans people, the ultimate symbols of a rejection of conformity, are icons, said somebody called Emmanuel, who's an editor-in-chief of Vogue. Rejection of conformity. Icons, trans people are. They're icons. And they want to be recognised. When I ask people about these pride parades, and I say to them, what's the point? Like, the war is won. You know, most of us don't care that you're gay or lesbian or that you're trans. We just don't care because, you know, we're struggling to get to the end of the month and pay the bills. That's the truth, by the way, for me and for you. It is for me anyway, right? Struggle, right? To get to the end of the month. And are always worried about it. So we don't care that you're gay or that you're a lesbian. We really couldn't give an arse, really. No pun intended. Nor could we care if you're trans. So this thing, we demand to be recognised. We demand! But don't demand anything of me. How about fuck off? How about that? How about don't demand anything of me? How dare you? I don't know you. I'll never meet you. And I'm not going to recognise... what do you want me to do? Do you want me to publicly affirm that I'm okay with you? Is that what it is? Is that what it's going to come to in the future when people are applying to be managers of companies or teachers or people are applying for jobs in medicine? Are you going to have to affirm publicly that you're okay with trans people? I couldn't care less. Is that not going to be good enough in the future? What do you think about trans people, Richie? I couldn't care less. That's not good enough. You've got to say that you are okay with it, that you love them, that you embrace it. Well, I fucking don't care. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. It only bothers me when we get to teaching children age 4 and 5 about sexuality. Then it bothers me because I say leave them alone. Demand to be recognised. So that's what pride is about now, is it? Is it? People walking around city centres. We're here, we're queer and all that. That war has been won. That was an important battle, that. When gay people couldn't go outside, couldn't go to discos, couldn't go to restaurants, when there was a genuine concern that you might get your head kicked in. That was a proper war. And I was regaled, many an evening, I was regaled by friends of mine in Waterford, the late, great Billy McCarthy, and others, gay men, who said, Richie, geez, it was bad back then. And it was bad back then. The war has been won. We demand recognition. We demand to be included. We demand to be on the front pages of magazines. Fuck off. How about that? Take your demands and stick them up your arse. Couldn't care less. Really couldn't care less what you are. Fed up of it. I'm fed up of it now. People telling me what I should think and what I should say. Is that how it's going to be? Richie, what do you feel about gay and lesbian people? Couldn't care less. None of my business. Not good enough, Richie. We need to dig down a bit deeper. Because you might have feelings of malevolence towards them. So you're going to have to answer a few more in-depth questions. Have you got any gay friends? I do, in fact. Fuck off. Michael Burke. Burke. Michael Burke. 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 How do you pronounce it? Michael Burke. B-U-E-R-K. Michael Burke. Let the obese die to save NHS cash. Hence the Dr. Phil meme. I couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. This is something that was said on the radio. He hosts a show on Radio 4 for the BBC. And he suggested that overeating might actually benefit society. The obese will die a decade earlier than the rest of us, he wrote for the Radio Times. See it as a selfless sacrifice in the fight against demographic imbalance, overpopulation and climate change. Don't try and help the obese. Fuck them. Let them eat themselves to death. It'll benefit the rest of us in the long term and it'll help combat climate change. Lovely. Fuck the obese. Let them die. Get rid of them. Hence the Dr. Phil meme, you see. Couldn't organise piss up in brewery. In brewery. What else is in the Times? Johnson to defy any vote of no confidence. So if a vote of no confidence is triggered in Boris Johnson by the Labour Party, and if it is supported by the Lib Dems, which it would be, and by some of Boris Johnson's backbenchers, Johnson would say, ah, fair enough then, if that's the way you want to play it, and would schedule a general election for after the October 31st deadline, meaning that we would leave the European Union with no deal anyway, with the election to follow. Don't buy it. Don't believe it, people. The United Kingdom will not leave the European Union in any meaningful way. That is my theory. And I'm not sticking to it because it's my theory, so I'm sticking with it. It's what I believe. Okay? So that's basically the premise. And if you want to read about that, all the newspapers are covering it today. All right, there I am. Look at me, look. Right. Okay. Okay, I hear you. Stacey Dooley. Stacey Dooley. Stacey. The Times is pissed off because Stacey Dooley has made a documentary for Panorama. Stacey Dooley. This is the woman who won Strictly Come Dancing or whatever the hell. Right. Yeah. And. Yeah. Let me just bring something up there. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I know if you're listening back to this on the, say it for me, on podcast, it gets annoying when I drop out for a minute and I go quiet because you're listening on the podcast, of course. Anyway, Stacey Dooley. Stacey made a mistake when she was recording Panorama, and a bunch of Muslim women made a gesture with their hands, right? And Stacey, in the voiceover, said that this was an Islamic State salute, a gesture that signified allegiance to Islamic State. But in fact, the gesture is usually used to signal that there's only one God, Muhammad, or there's only one prophet, Muhammad, or something like that anyway, right? See, I would research it, you see, before I would be out there in Syria or in Afghanistan or in wherever the bloody hell. I would do a bit of research. That's just me. Old school, right? The gesture was commandeered by Islamic State fighters is in fact a common way for Muslims to syndicate the indivisible oneness of Allah. Okay, so that's what they say in the Times. Stacey made a balls of it. She made a balls of it, Stacey. And the Times is going after her. It's interesting, this. They say the incident raises questions about the decision to promote Dooley, who's a former shop assistant who has never trained as a journalist, to a senior investigative role. Dooley's been recently been given over £100,000 by the BBC in a golden handcuffs deal. The BBC want to retain the services of Dooley exclusively. They don't want her doing anything moonlighting for other networks because they think she's amazing. She's not amazing. She's a fucking airhead, right? Let's be honest about it. And I don't care. Misogyny, no. I don't have a misogynistic bone in my body. Anybody who's ever worked with me would argue the toss and say, no, it's not the case. Dooley is wretched, but I don't blame Dooley. Dooley is clueless. I reckon what's gone on at the BBC is this. That's what's gone on. Remember Trading Places? Remember the two goons who ran the company, the two old men, I can't remember their names. They had a bet that they could take a man who was down on his luck, who was unemployed, who hadn't got a pot to piss in, that they could better his circumstances and turn him into a successful trader. Do you remember that? That's what's happened with Dooley. Executives at the BBC are bored out of their tits. They're bored out of their mind. And they laughed. They got drunk one night on a bottle of whiskey and said, let's turn Stacey Dooley into an investigative journalist. And that's what's happened. Dooley is wretched. This is where your tax bucks are going when you pay your TV licence, which is, I think, over £150. They put people like Stacey Dooley into war zones. Sky did it with Ross Kemp. Right. Right. That's the way it is. It's the way it goes. RT. Facebook is censoring the Storm Area 51 event. It has deleted the page. Hundreds of thousands of people want to go to Area 51. The idea being that if we all go, they won't be able to shoot every one of us, right? And we'll be able to go in and we'll be able to find the aliens. We'll be able to find the aliens. There's one for Loch Ness too, isn't there? Let's storm Loch Ness and find Nessie. Yeah. Nessie. I got more than my usual 4 hour sleep last night. Got about five and a half. But still a bit peaked. Let the obese die, eh? Here's one that'll trigger some of my Jewish followers. Have I gone again? I have. Two says, Richie, do you have a TV license? No, I don't. No, I've been asked that before and I said no. I do not. Hi to Sean Ping. Stacey Dooley. I'm Stacey Dooley. Lovely. 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 Loads of chat messages there. If you want to engage with people, engage with them. On the chat. Have a chat. Lovely. Good morning, Richard Willett. Yeah. Imagine that. Let the obese just die off. It'll help climate change. Marvellous. 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 Okay. Good stuff. Mad stories. You know, I see a lot of you are talking about the transgender model who's going to be working for Victoria's Secret. I mean, these are mad times. But look, Victoria's Secret is a private business and it can use whatever model it chooses to use. And if feminists have a problem with that, well, I understand why they have a problem with that. But Victoria's Secret is a private enterprise. It's a private company. The Mail on... it's not the Mail on Sunday, it's the Mail on Tuesday. It's going with... US State Department is telling tourists, if you're coming to the United States, this is honestly true. Travel warnings are being issued to people who do have tickets and who do have 30-day visas to stay in the US over the summer. Be careful. Be careful. It's a bit dangerous at the moment. This is referencing the shootings in El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio. That's in the Mail. Be careful. Alexandria Or Alexandra, Alexandria, Ocasio-Cortez is pissed off. Because Mitch McConnell, who's a conservative senator, is he? Is he a senator, Mitch, or is he a congressman? Anyway, he's got some supporters that work for Mitch, and they molested a cardboard cutout of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the darling of the progressive left in the United States, one of them anyway. She's one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. I coined that phrase. Trump's people have to be watching this. Look it up. That's mine. I'm owning that. Four horsewomen. One of the men makes kissing gestures in the video. Another one cups his hand near her throat. And she doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. The image was posted to Instagram. She doesn't like it. And see, and what you get then is a Twitter storm. Storm in a teacup. You get people screaming at one another about misogyny, about harassment, and all of that. I don't know if Mitch McConnell has responded. There's the tweet from Ocasio-Cortez. That's in the mail. But here's one that's in the mail that will trigger some of our Jewish viewers this morning. And I'm not laughing at them. Hitler's granddad was Jewish, claims historian who says Nazi sympathisers scrubbed his real ancestry from public records. This is a guy called Dr. Leonard Sachs. And the Mail says, not me, I haven't seen the research. The Mail says that his research, near as damn it, proves that Hitler's granddad was a Jew living in Austria. And this is all based on new evidence that suggests there was a Jewish settlement there before 1850. It's in the Mail today. That's dailymail.co.uk if you want to check it out. The Mail says that a guy called Hans Frank first put forward this theory that Hitler had Jewish ancestry. Hitler's personal attorney uncovered evidence in 1930 that the Nazi leader's granddad lived in the household where his grandmother worked, where Frank's grandmother worked. So it's in the Mail. Meltdown today. A lot of Jews won't care because Jews are divided on the whole area of ethnicity. They're divided. A lot of Jews are very much opposed to the idea that Jews are a race, including some very senior Jews in England, Julian Neuberger. Many senior Jews in America reject utterly the notion that Jews are a race. And they often, you know, talk about this is the domain of white supremacists. Many Jews reject the notion that Jews are a race, specifically because white supremacists, idiotic racists basically, have used the notion that Jews are a race to basically blame Jews for everything. That Jews are a race, that they're an insidious race. And many Jews say, well, we're not a race. We're an identity. We're a religious group, effectively. That's what I believe. I've always believed that. That Jews are white people, mostly. Some black people, of course. Who converted. All right, it's what I believe. A lot of Jews don't like me saying that. Well, fuck off. It's what I believe. There's more. Jews are often offended by the suggestion that he had a Jewish granddad because they hate Hitler. And it's in the Mail today. Yep. Doesn't really matter, does it? Whether he had a Jewish granddad or not. Let's not melt down. But yeah, interesting. For people who are interested in that period of history, it's an interesting story. Speaking of the shootings, police believe that Connor Betts, who was shot dead and is allegedly responsible for what happened in Dayton, Ohio, 9 murders and the wounding of many more, they're saying that they're pretty sure that he wasn't motivated by racial hatred, even though most of his victims were black, apparently. But that's what they're saying, right? I don't know. That's in RT today. What else? What else have we got for you today? What else? Oh, here's a bizarre one. Here's a bizarre one. Patrick Crusius is in custody. And we're told that he's most likely the man who murdered 20 people. 22 now, because a couple of people have died overnight, sadly. That he shot 22 people dead and injured many more. a bizarre story has emerged out of El Paso in Texas. One that suggests that he was lost. He was lost. What kind of fuckery is this? He was lost, apparently. He was driving around. And he only ended up at Walmart after he got lost and became hungry. But less than 20 minutes before he began shooting, he shared the manifesto. What kind of fuckery is this, you know? And the photographs are weird, aren't they? That I got into this on yesterday's newspaper review. The pictures of him are very different, the pictures they're putting out. Almost looks like two different people. I'm not saying it's two different people, by the way. I'm just saying the pictures are a bit weird. His niece said, strong-willed, caring, giving, and special person, well-known in the community. Oh, no, that's not him. Excuse me, that's one of the victims. Excuse me. Excuse me. Because the grandparents put out a statement last night, didn't they? Where they didn't say, oh, he was lovely, oh, he was lovely, oh, he was great. They just said, yes, he did live with us until 6 weeks ago. Then he moved out, but he has been back since when we've not been home. Got lost, eh? Just got lost. He was driving around, got lost. Pulled into Walmart because he got hungry. Posted a manifesto and went on his shooting spree. That's the photograph that I can't reconcile. But I think it probably is the same guy. It just looks very different, doesn't it? But that's the, you know, you can get a couple of pictures of me, even recent pictures of me. I don't mean one like 3 years ago. You can get a couple of pictures of me recently. You can say, oh, it looks, so I don't know. But it does look different, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It is him, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, very interesting times these. Very interesting times these. So we are approaching 15 minutes past. That would be 10:15 on Tuesday morning. This is the story on the front page of the Sun. Little Tafida Raqib, the girl with the burst blood vessel in her brain. Doctors say there's no hope of recovery. The parents want to take it to the High Court. This throws up this really important issue. Who bears responsibility for the welfare of the child? Is it the parents? It should be, shouldn't it? Or is it the state? It shouldn't be. But sadly it is. The parents want to take her to Italy because renowned neurosurgeons in Italy say they think they might be able to do something. But the doctors in London want her to die. Should I not take her to Italy? If she's heavily sedated and if she's going to die anyway, God love her. God bless the little kid, right? Give her a chance, like. So the mum is Shalina Begum. She has to take this to the High Court. It's going to cost her a lot of money. They've got a GoFundMe page. The treatment in Italy will cost £300,000. GoFundMe is where they're looking for help. The legal fees will be over £100,000. Children's Hospital in Genoa. Neurologists have had a look at the child via video link. And they've concluded she needs radical rehabilitation and given time for her brain to heal. And then they can possibly work on her. The NHS says, no, it's not going to work. And they've blocked the transfer and they just want the child to die. Who has the responsibility for the daughter? It's the mum, right? It's the mum. Yes, the dad too. It's the mum. The mum carried her. The mum's responsible for her. And if they want to take her to Italy, they should be allowed to give her a chance. The Italian doctors say that they've concluded she's not brain dead. Presumably they've had access also to some of the scans, presumably, that they've not just diagnosed her from Skype. But it's a very serious story. Grave implications for your freedom, for your sovereignty, for your rights to protect your children and to do what's best for them as their parents, right? Right. Okay. That's about it for the newspaper review show today. Yeah. To those whom I didn't mention, again, don't take offence. We get a lot of messages coming through on the super chat, on the chat there. Thanks for watching this morning. Got a very interesting programme later on. Dean Henderson will join me on the radio show to talk about his brand new book. Can't wait to do that. And I'll be talking to Andy, who's a dad who last year had his daughter taken away from him in extraordinary circumstances. He's in the US. And he got to me through some of our listeners on Twitter. So thanks to them for directing him to me. He has a story that needs telling. He sent me the basic outline of the story and some details. And it's pretty rotten. But we'll get into that on the Richie Allen Radio Show at 5 o'clock today. That's UK time on the usual channels. Do check out Richie. Check out even triggerwarning.tv, where this where the radio show is hosted, among other platforms, for interesting chat with Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth. Until 5 today, it's bye from me. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Speak later.